And our connection now was made this past Friday when the CDC continued its pandemic trend of communicating rather poorly with the public. The first headline on Friday from the CDC read, quote, CDC finds that Moderna vaccine produces an allergic reaction in some recipients. That sounds bad, but the actual details of the story were, in fact, pretty encouraging. Yes, some people had severe reactions to the Moderna vaccine. How many? 10 people out of the first 4 million doses administered. One severe reaction out of every 400,000 people so far. Those reactions produced anaphylaxis and were treated with common practices. There have been no deaths, and those numbers are pretty close to what we've seen from Pfizer, all of which means there have been no troubling surprises for the experts. These vaccines continue to prove their worth. But there are still plenty of questions about what constitutes an allergic reaction. We've had questions from listeners on this, and this hour we're bringing in the chief of allergy at RRH, going to answer questions you have on this. Dr. Shahzad Mustafa is the lead physician and chief of allergy, immunology, and rheumatology at Rochester Regional Health. Dr. Mustafa, thanks for hanging in there with us, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me join, Evan.
Let me just start with what the CDC says about Moderna and what we've learned about Pfizer. Are those numbers that we've seen of the relatively rare number of severe reactions in line with what you expected and what is common with vaccines?
Yeah, Evan. So vaccines are obviously a great public health achievement and important in getting us out of this mess with COVID-19. With that being said, reactions and allergic reactions are rare but real. In general, allergic reactions to the vaccine occur about 1 to 1.4 per million doses. For the Moderna one, it's kind of coming in at 2-ish, maybe Pfizer 4-ish per million doses, so slightly higher than other vaccines, but right around that. And I think those numbers might even dip down. So, you know, to answer your question in short, we expect allergic reactions to occur, very, very rare events, but real events that, you know, can be handled by experts and allergists and specialists in the area.
When anaphylaxis happens, what is the medical response to deal with it?
Yeah, so anaphylaxis can happen to a number of things. People are familiar with foods and medications and stinging insects. It can happen to vaccines as well, you know, typically 1 to 2 per million doses. Most episodes of anaphylaxis occur within 20 minutes, almost always within 2 hours. Common symptoms, you know, rash, hives. You can get some swelling. You can have difficulty breathing. Severe episodes that may be anaphylactic shock. You have changes in your blood pressure. But again, these are kind of immediate hypersensitivity reactions that are not subtle and pretty easy to identify. And if someone is having an anaphylactic reaction, regardless of the trigger, the treatment of choice is epinephrine. Antihistamines and steroids have some questionable roles, and often people are treated with those. But the treatment of choice for true anaphylaxis is epinephrine. And so many people with food allergies or bee sting allergy carry epinephrine auto-injectors, EpiPens, and that was the treatment for anaphylaxis.
Now, for those who have had the vaccine or those who are going to get the vaccine soon, there are questions about what that actual process is like. And let me just share a brief story, Dr. Mustafa, of my mother. She got vaccinated last night. Now, she lives in Ohio, a different state, so you know, listeners are asking me, how did you get her in? I just got online. I got online every day for days looking for any cancellations in the Ohio pharmacy chain that's been doing it. And somehow I logged in 2 days ago at the right time. So it was a very happy day in my family's little text.
Yeah, good for you, son of the year.
Absolutely. Like now, interestingly, she called me last night to say, got it. Went very well. She said she expected to be told to wait for 15 minutes to make sure there was no severe reaction. And they told her in the pharmacy, nope, get out of here. You're fine. She was surprised by that. And I had not heard that either. I was a little unnerved. What is the common practice of getting a vaccine right now, doctor? And is 15 minutes just a wise, you know, course to take there?
Yeah, so I think generally, again, I think we just heard the governor speak, and there are a lot of unknowns here. In general, again, vaccine reactions do happen, but they're very rare events. So when people get vaccinated, children, several vaccines at a time, many of us are flu shot annually, there is no wait time. But I think out of an extra step of caution, given the circumstances we're in with COVID and some early reports from the UK and local in the US for potential allergic reactions to these vaccines, I think the common wait guidance right now is about a 15-minute monitoring period after you get vaccinated. That's certainly happening here locally with both health systems, University of Rochester, RRH, and pharmacies too. That's, again, a little atypical compared to other vaccines, which do not have particularly dissimilar rates of reaction. But, you know, a little erring on the side of caution may not be a bad idea as we continue to learn more about this. And I think that may change over time, depending on the numbers we're vaccinating and where we're vaccinating, right? Logistics will play into it as well.
All right. A listener named Angela says, do I need to worry about eggs in the ingredients of these vaccines?
Yeah, so I'm going to answer that with two. No, these the Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccines do not contain egg protein, so that's not a worry. I want to take it a step further. People with true egg allergy, which is common in childhood but not in adulthood, even if you have true egg allergy, the concern of allergic reactions to influenza vaccine and MMR vaccine, that's no longer a concern. Many studies have shown that you can get influenza vaccine and MMR vaccine even if you have a true egg allergy, which afflicts children more than adults. But to answer the question very simply, non-issue with these two vaccines.
Any other ingredients in the vaccines where people might have a common allergic reaction to any particular ingredients?
Yeah, so certainly there are no ingredients that anyone would have a common allergic reaction. And we have a lot of learning to do, just much like many things with COVID, about these vaccines and what may be causing reactions in these vaccines. To date, we think maybe the ingredient that may be playing a role is something called polyethylene glycol, or PEG. That is in both of these vaccines. That's a common ingredient in Miralax, which many people are familiar with. And that's a potential allergen in these vaccines. So if you have a known history of allergy to polyethylene glycol or PEG, which certainly is not common, but if you have a known history of allergy to that, then you may want to consult with someone before considering these vaccines. But otherwise, there are very few reasons not to get this vaccine at this point. The people who should not get this vaccine are known allergy to PEG or potentially a known allergy to the first dose of these vaccines. But as allergists can help with, there's actually pretty decent and helpful evaluation for true vaccine allergy. And believe it or not, even for individuals who may be allergic to a vaccine, there are protocols where allergists can still administer the vaccine that the person is allergic to. And this is something we do annually with flu shots. And maybe an option with COVID vaccines too, but certainly if you've had a reaction to these vaccines, you should certainly consult with a specialist.
David wanted to know if vaccine side effects are a form of allergy.
Yeah, that's a great question, and the answer is no. So vaccine side effects are common and almost expected. After you get a vaccine, you can certainly, pain at the site of the injection, swelling, tenderness, potential low-grade fever, muscle aches, myalgias. These things are common and almost expected. Significant percentages of people who get vaccinated feel these things in the days leading up to it or leading after the vaccine. It's almost part of your immune response. The key is, again, allergic reactions almost always happen within 20 minutes, almost always 2 hours. And they're a little bit different constellation of symptoms compared to these, adverse effects that are very, very common. People who feel these non-allergic side effects should absolutely proceed with future vaccination without hesitation. They're really not a concern. And if you have side effects on the first dose, it's not necessary that you'll experience similar or certainly worse side effects with future doses. They're somewhat unpredictable. But with these COVID vaccines to date, we are hearing that the second dose tends to have a little more side effects with, potentially fever, muscle aches than the first dose. But again, it's very different and individualized for each person.
But I'll put a point on what the doctor just said there. Dr. Mustafa emphasizing that side effects are not allergies. That's a different thing there.
Very, very different. Yep.
Anna from Rochester wants to get the vaccine, but she has major allergies. She says animal hair, hay fever, foods, skin allergies. She has Crohn's. Her doctor said to just take it and wait, but she is in her 80s and she is sort of feeling uncertain about this. Do you have any advice for her?
Yeah, so not speaking to any individual, but we see a lot of individuals with allergic conditions. 20% of the population has environmental allergies. There's a lot of reported drug and food allergies. To date, we really don't think your history of allergic conditions changes your risk of allergic reaction to this vaccine. So, there's really no one in my practice, and I take care of a lot of individuals with allergies, as do as everyone in our practice. That's not a reason not to get your COVID vaccine. Could you have a reaction? Certainly. We've talked about the low rates, and that's really no different with the history. And again, we all know the very, very real risks of COVID. So like most things we do in medicine and in life, it's a risk-benefit analysis. But my recommendation is the benefits of vaccination far, far outweigh any risk.
Kathy in Rochester directed me to an article that, just summing up, I'll look for your take on this, Dr. Mustafa. The article essentially quotes a number of doctors and nurses who have been vaccinated already, who feel like one message that we need to keep putting out there is that whenever you scale up a vaccination program the way we are, there will inevitably be coincidences. There will be moments where, you know, someone has a heart attack and would have had a heart attack vaccine or not, but people will say, well, they got the vaccine yesterday, it caused the heart attack. Or a person who may have a nut allergy or something like that will have a reaction a day later and say, well, this must be from the vaccine. How concerned are you that when we see, you know, these one-off outlier stories that are sort of mathematically bound to happen, that people start to equate them with the vaccine or assume that they are vaccine related?
Yeah, I mean, I would obviously have caution in doing that. It's hard to make connections between what happened versus what's, you know, your exposures in the last hours to days. I would say that these vaccines, you know, although they were kind of worked through in a very, very rapid time scale, which is very helpful, they went through rigorous trials. Over 70,000 people were enrolled in these initial studies from Moderna and Pfizer, and they have excellent, excellent safety profile. And there's no reason to believe there is, you know, significantly increased risk of adverse health effects. Risk of allergic reaction is possible. We've talked about those numbers. Those are, again, immediate. Side effects happen for many people over the course of the, you know, day or two following vaccine. And vaccines have been connected with potential serious neurologic complications, which are even more rare. And again, those signals are not any greater for these vaccines than others. And again, I think the benefits just far, far outweigh any risk.
What's the most common question you're getting, regarding allergies about this?
Yeah, so there's a lot of discussion about allergic history contributing to your risk of allergy to these vaccines. And to answer it simply, I don't think people's allergic histories, whether it's environmental, food, drug, bee sting, really contributes to your risk or changes your risk for allergic reaction to these vaccines. Again, the two things where you have caution, should have caution, is if you had a first dose of these vaccines and had a what seems like an allergic reaction, you should certainly be evaluated. Those should all be reported because there's very close tracking symptoms. Systems. And actually, we have individuals, we have healthcare workers who we're scheduled to see who reported very suggestive symptoms of true severe allergic reaction or anaphylaxis to the first dose. And we're going to evaluate them. There's potential blood work that can be done at the time of the reaction. There is potential allergy testing that can be helpful in determining what happened and then on how to best move forward. And whereas a lot of people have hesitancy in getting vaccinated, just for these two individuals that are scheduled to be seeing me in the near future, they're both healthcare workers that want to get their second dose, even though they had allergic reaction with their first. And we're going to have to, you know, risk stratify and see the most prudent way to move forward. But if there are real concerns of reactions to these vaccines, I encourage you to reach out to your docs, your primary care docs, specialists, because there are ways we can kind of risk stratify and decide on the best way to move forward.
And Diana in Rochester called, and I don't have time to take it, but I will just ask in our last little 45 seconds or so, doctor. I know you've emphasized this point, but let's do it again. She's over 65. She has an underlying condition. She's wondering about what's a rational thing to do. Are there any underlying conditions that you, as an allergist, as a doctor, as the chief of allergy, would say, hey, don't get this vaccine yet?
I don't know if I can be any more straightforward than saying no. And all of these underlying conditions are actually risk factors for more severe outcomes from COVID. So I think on the flip side, it makes vaccination even more important and more prudent to follow through on.
And to Diana, people who are wondering, hey, I've got underlying conditions, should I work harder to try to get it? I would just say, whenever you are eligible, I don't think there's anything wrong with working as hard as you can to get it in your geographic location. It's been frustrating. It's been hard. I'm not saying, you know, skip lines or anything like that, but if you are eligible and you can get it, go get it. Dr. Mustafa, lead physician and chief of allergy, immunology, and rheumatology at Rochester Regional Health. I hope we can circle back in time and see how things are progressing, but I'm really grateful for your expertise, and I know our listeners are as well.
Look forward to it. Thanks for the conversation, Evan.
Dr. Shahzad Mustafa joining us, and a lot of reassuring and important expertise there. More connections coming up in a moment.